Welcome to the Words of Life with God's servant, Pastor Obed Joy Obin. Get set for a life-transforming word right from the ovens of heaven.
God's word, John chapter 14. Remember, we are riding on the wings of the Spirit, and the prophetic theme for the year is exceptionalism. To be exceptional, one needs to carry the anointing. One needs to carry the anointing. It's the anointing that makes you exceptional. Jesus was exceptional because he was anointed. And as we also ride on the wings of the Spirit, we will live the exceptional life. John 14, 26. But the Comforter, everybody go with me, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring you all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said. Wow. We will never be in absentia. We will never be able to forget or not to bring in memory the things Jesus has spoken unto us. Why? Because the Holy Ghost is there to remind us. Somebody is blessed. Bow down your heads. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you this morning that the grass will wither, the flower will fade, but your word will stand forever. This morning we stand on this exalted altar, praising the exalted name, Jesus, lifting him up. Unto him have we gathered here, not for excitement, nor for playing fair, but just to hear your word. We have not come from the corners of our places just to have fun. But we have come that by your Spirit, our lives will be transformed. Our minds will be renewed. Our attitude and characters will change. Holy Spirit, help us today to ride on your wings through the facets of life. Give us the grace that will humiliate every human impossibility. By your Spirit, cause us to soar on high. As your word comes, let it flow. Let it flow. Let your word find a proper place, a better soil, so that your word will grow and the harvest will be to your glory. Spirit of God, touch every heart and cause us to be blessed today. In Jesus' the blessed name. If you are here, shout a big amen. Amen. Please be seated in the presence of God. Hallelujah. Come on, smile to your neighbor and say that it's good to be here. I'm at the right place and at the right time. The scriptures are so clear and obvious, and we understand from the prophetic direction that God gives us that you can't make it in life, you can't ever ride higher, you can't make it to the top of your life without the Holy Spirit. There is an adage in our church that says that the Holy Spirit is all that we need in order to fulfill destiny. The Holy Spirit is all that I need in order to fulfill destiny. That it becomes so important because life is full of challenges. Life is full of troubles. Life is full of detractions. There are things that pulls us back. There are things that makes life virtually impossible. But this man, God is speaking to us that by his grace and by his leadings, we will be able to ride over. We will ride on top of mountains. We'll be able to take over that which God himself has given unto us. Whatever the enemy occupied, or whatever the enemy took away from us, by his spirit, it is time for restoration. It is time for taking over, and it's time to be restored. But that is not possible if we don't get to know this person called the Holy Spirit, because he is the one that God has ordained to be with the church. The Holy Spirit is the one that God has ordained to be with the church. It would be very impossible, virtually impossible, for anyone to, number one, please God, anyone, number one, to be able to have relationship and fellowship with God without the Holy Spirit. He said that may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. So the fellowship of the Holy Spirit is what makes us to be able to relate with God, because God is holy. Now, in Jesus' own words, he made us to understand from the scriptures we just read. He said that, but the Comforter, which the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name. The Comforter. The word Comforter simply means the advocator or the helper. The helper. Tell somebody the helper. In fact, help is what everybody needs. I always say this, that no matter what you have, no matter what you carry, no matter how blessed you be, you still need a helper. You still need a helper. The richest man in the world still needs somebody to open the gate or to be a security guard. Somehow you need a helper. But the greatest help that God has ever given is the Holy Spirit. That helper is coming to you in Jesus' name. The Holy Spirit has the ministry of helping the believer through the journey of life. Because the journey of life becomes burdensome. The journey of life sometimes becomes so hectic. Sometimes it is easy to add up and get a good answer or get an equal mark. But there are times you add up to life and you come back to square zero. And you realize that all the effort you have put in place in life has been subjected to nothing. And that is when you would need an external force or an external grace to be able to push you to where God wants you to be. And that is what the Holy Spirit has been mastered. In fact, he has a PhD plus in helping the believer through the journey of life. So he said that the Comforter, the Helper, which is the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Now, living without the Holy Spirit makes you a spiritual orphan. Makes you a spiritual orphan. Makes you a spiritual orphan. In other words, you don't have any spiritual biological parent. Living without the Holy Spirit makes you a spiritual orphan. We understood from our previous studies that we are born by the Spirit of God. We are born. He that is born of the flesh is of the flesh, and he that is born of the Spirit is of what? The Spirit. So living without the Holy Spirit makes you a spiritual orphan. And I pray that you don't become one. Your amen is way. So the Father will send in my name, and he will teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance. The Holy Spirit, once again, I want to repeat it, has a fourfold ministry. A fourfold ministry. The number one ministry of the Holy Spirit is that he teaches us. He teaches us. Number two, he shows. The Holy Spirit shows us. Number three, the Holy Spirit, he speaks to us. He speaks. He has a voice that he speaks. And then number four, he guides. The Holy Spirit guides. So these are the fourfold ministry of the Holy Spirit to the believer in helping the believer in the journey of life. Somebody is blessed. Again, he also brings us into remembrance. He brings us into remembrance. He brings us into the remembrance. You know, there are many things that we could easily forget about our spirituality and about the things that God has spoken unto us. You know, the enemy will only take advantage of you based on your ignorance and your lack of knowledge. The enemy will take advantage of you over the things you don't know. But the Holy Spirit is there to help the believer by also bringing you into remembrance the things that you need to know so that the enemy will not take advantage of your life. Your amen is weak. Somebody is blessed. He is our divine helper. Because as I've already said, he is your spiritual, biological parent. And the good news is that the Holy Spirit is always there for us. He's always there for us. He's always there for us. If only you will allow him, all his ministry will be brought to bear in your life. Somebody's blessed. But we can also resist him. Even though he is always there for us, there are times we restrain him. There are times we resist him. And there are times we try to grieve him. To grieve him. To grieve him. Even though he's always there for us. But we resist him sometimes. We quench him sometimes. And we grieve him. How do we quench or restrain the Holy Spirit? Go with me to 1 Thessalonians. Chapter number 5, verse 19. How do we quench or restrain the Holy Spirit from showing us, teaching us, and being our helper? You see, when you need help and you resist help, help can't come to you. You know, we are living in a day where many people need help, but for the sake of pride, they are not getting help because they don't position themselves as people who really need help. By their attitude and actions, they actually resist help, and yet they suffer and they struggle. Is somebody here with me? So, how do we resist and quench or restrain the Holy Spirit from helping us? 1 Thessalonians 5:19. He says that quench not the Spirit. Quench not the Spirit. Anything that you do that seeks to resist or that seeks to prevent the Holy Spirit's move and action in your life is an action that is to quench His flow. Now, the body is made up of many compartments, like a compartment in an apartment. When you enter into somebody's apartment, it's possible there are about 3 bedrooms. You have a hall, maybe the dining room, a kitchen, and then the washrooms. Some may have garages and other places. The same way our body also have compartments. Now, when a visitor comes to visit you in your room, in your house, you don't necessarily have to take the visitor to all the places. But then there's a particular room that is assigned to the visitor. And the visitor is not permitted to enter into other rooms. Is somebody here with me? Now, we have made the Holy Spirit, who is our spiritual biological parent, as a visitor to our life, whereby we have actually given Him a particular place where He should stay and remain, and all other places He is not allowed to go there. That is exactly how we quench the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit is seeking to have control over the body. The Holy Spirit is seeking to have control over the mind, over the eyes, over every area of your life. But here we are, we say, fine. The Holy Spirit, I believe the best place that you need to be is where you are. That is the heart. And stay there and stay there alone. And even the heart, sleep. Do you understand? Don't tell me what to do. I'll be led by my own conscience. And some of you call it common sense. It is the foolishness of all. There is nothing like a common sense. If somebody hears it, common sense is not common to the common sense. Is somebody here with me? You need the wisdom from above, which the Holy Spirit alone can give. Is somebody following me? So, in resisting the Holy Spirit or quenching Him means to prevent His flow of taking over your life so that He can help you. He can help you. He can teach you. He can show you. He can lead you. And so on and so forth. Somebody's blessed. Now again, go with me to Ephesians chapter 4, verse number 13. There are times we also grieve the Holy Spirit. Ephesians 4, 13 says that, grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Grieve Him not. How do you get somebody aggrieved? When you do things that the person doesn't like. And sometimes people are able to take things on a lighter note at the first time. But when it keeps on repeating, it becomes so unbearable. And therefore they get aggrieved. They get aggrieved. And to the extent that when anybody is aggrieved, it actually hinders the fellowship. The fellowship is how well you flow with someone. When we come to church, we come to fellowship. But yet we are children of God, and that makes us to relate with Him as our Father. But there are many children of God, but there are few fellowshippers. few people who have fellowship with God, because they actually grieve the Holy Spirit. Is somebody following me? Now, when you do things that the Holy Spirit doesn't like, he is a gentle person. How many of you believe? You see, sometimes you expect that the Holy Spirit would actually bring some form of resistance so that we'll not do the bad thing. No. Remember, your will has been given to you to subject it under the Spirit of God. God has given you your free will, but you are not free until it is subjected under the Spirit of God. So, the moment you start grieving the Holy Spirit, you stop him from helping you. You stop him from actually bringing you what he needs to be done in your life. Is somebody here with me? So there is the need for us to always be in tandem, or there is the need for us to always check the flow and the fellowship we have with the Holy Spirit. I'm not trying to say that be as perfect being or try to be. In fact, there's nothing like trying for the believer. Everything about the believer is by grace. So you don't try. The moment you try, you are using your strength and your ability to do it. But when you avail yourself to the Holy Spirit, he rather empowers you and gives you the grace to always be able to flow and move with him according to his Spirit. Is somebody here with me? There are people who say that, I'm trying to be holy. You can never be holy. But pray the Holy Spirit give me the strength to live a holy life. And as he is a prayer answering God, he will answer you. Is somebody here with me? Unless you don't allow him. You know, he's so gentle that he can't force himself on you. That makes him a person. If you are trying to help someone and the person doesn't need your help, it actually shows. So what do you do? What do you do? You just park yourself somewhere, because the one you are trying to help doesn't need your help. How? By his actions. When we grieve the Holy Spirit, we resist him from helping us. Somebody is blessed. So, through his help, the Holy Spirit has a mandate and a ministry to empower us to fulfill our destiny. To fulfill our destiny. Somebody is blessed. Jeremiah chapter 1, verse number 5. I have been quoting this for some time. Makes us to understand that, like Jeremiah, everybody has a purpose and everybody has a reason for living. God doesn't bring anybody here on earth without a purpose. Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. As it is for Jeremiah, so it is for everyone that comes to this earth. Look at how unique reproduction system is and how human beings are formed. It takes supernatural work of God for you to be here today as a mankind and human being. And don't you think that God had to do everything for you to be here on earth for a reason. You carry a purpose. Tell yourself, I carry a purpose. I live for a reason. Come on, say it like you mean it. I live for a reason. I'm not a mistake. I'm not a failure. I'm not a confusion person. I live for a reason. If you may not find my reason, it doesn't mean I'm not living for a reason. If I'm redundant at this moment, it doesn't mean I don't have a purpose. God has something great for me. In the name of Jesus, I see you walking in your purpose. Before I formed thee in your mother's belly, I knew thee. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I have sanctified thee. The word sanctified means separated. I have made you holy, separated, specifically. And I have ordained. Whatever you are going to do on earth, let me tell you, for everyone here who has actually subjected your life, your will, to the tutelage of the Holy Spirit, as I told you the other day, as you have come to the school of the Holy Spirit, whatever that you are doing has been assigned and prepared, approved, and sealed by the Holy Spirit. Shout, I'm not a mistake. Hallelujah. We also see a similar story with Paul in Galatians chapter 1, verse number 5. Paul, in his testimony, said, he said that Galatians chapter number 5, sorry, chapter number 1, verse 5, he says that to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Continue. Amen. Let me see if I can get it. Gone. Paul also testified that before he was formed in his mother's womb, God has already assigned a purpose and a plan for his life, just to speak and to preach of the gospel. Hallelujah. Is somebody here with me? Paul said that I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel. Well, he was trying to teach them something different. But the point I want to emphasize here is that for everybody here on earth, God has a plan for you. Hallelujah. Now, one way that we fulfill that destiny is by discovery of vision and the pursuit of the same. I made mention of this last week. One way that we are able to fulfill that purpose or that destiny is to discover. Say to discover the vision and the pursuit of it. Once you discover it, then you pursue it. I don't want to go into details because I mentioned it that last week. Now, I want you to understand what vision is. What is vision? Say vision. 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 Now, vision is the discovery of God's plan for your life. The Bible says that without vision, my people perish. It means that without discovering God's plan for your life, you perish. Vision is discovering God's plan for your life. Now, if anybody should ask you, what is God's plan for your life? Somebody said to be a doctor. God wants you to be a doctor. And God created human beings and he knew that they will be sick one day. Therefore, there has to be a doctor. Do you think so? I said, okay, my vision, God's vision plan for my life is to be a lawyer. Who told you that it was in the mind of God that people will get cases so that you as a lawyer will go and talk on their behalf? No. No, come to think of it. But then the vision is also to discover God's original blueprint for your life. And what is it? Jeremiah 29 verse 11, to fast track because of time. Jeremiah 29, 11 tells us that, for I know the thoughts that I think towards you, says the Lord. The thought of peace and not of evil. So listen, listen very carefully. There is a glorious revelation here. He says that I know the thoughts that I think towards you. In discovering God's plan for your life, God has a thought. And number one, you must know the things that God is thinking about you. Is somebody here with me? Are you following me? Now, the thoughts of God towards your life are the things that He has programmed for your destiny. Now, He went on to say that there are thoughts that will bring you peace. So in your life, everything that has to do with the thoughts of God, with God's plan for your life, must not bring you struggles and must not bring you stress. Whatever you are doing, if it is bringing you stress, that means that you are at the wrong place and at the wrong time. Is somebody here with me? You are a teacher. And you always have problems with your headmaster. It's like when you yourself go, you don't feel any peace within you. You don't enjoy the work you are doing. It's like when you find it difficult. You know, one way that I knew that God was not calling me to become a banker is that at the latter times, I think about 6 months before I left, I had this kind of thing on me that every morning when I'm waking up to go to work, I feel like there was some kind of this affection. I actually lost control of myself. You know, I could sleep till even 6:30. Meanwhile, I had to get to work by 7. Because nothing was pushing me, the zeal, the joy, the peace about the work has left me. I didn't have any interest anymore. The work was not giving me what? Peace. Is somebody here with me? You see, when you find your purpose, you work at ease and you work at peace. There is peace in your spirit because that is the thought that God has for you. You wake up in the morning and you feel like crying when you are going to work. Stop it. Stop it. And God will show you what to do. I'm telling you. You are not happy with the work you are doing. You don't feel excited. It's like a burden, because I really felt so much burdened in my spirit. What is this kind of routine work that you have to go and be keying checks and transferring funds from one account to another? That's what I was doing every day, and the joy, the peace was not there. Because that was not, listen, the very first day I stepped out, I felt there was a burden lifted off me. From that time till now, I stand here to the glory of God that I'm a peaceful man. I have so much satisfaction in my spirit. Yesterday, after the program, we went home. A little while, I have to just sleep and come back home and come back here. On my way, somebody called me and said I was coming to church. He said, Pastor, don't you get tired? I said, no, we need to go and try a new camera with God. He said, you are a hard-working man. And I said, I'm not a hard-working man. I have found my purpose. And I do it with joy. I can stay here all night, all day, all throughout. That is the purpose. It must give you what? Peace, not evil. Don't stress yourself with the things God has not called you to do. Is somebody here with me? No, are you understanding the word of God? He said that not evil, but to give you. Come on, come with me. You see, the reason that you find it difficult to understand and know the plan of God for your life is because of money. You work for money. But we don't work for money. Work must be your passion. Job is for money. Are you understanding me? When you are doing a job, then you are work. You need money. But work must be your passion, your ministry. Is somebody understanding me? So you look at the money you are getting, even though the work is stressing you, will that give you an expected end? Somebody's blessed. I said somebody's blessed. So we must understand that in discovering God's plan for our lives, we must know the original blueprint of your life. Hallelujah. Now, what is the role of the Holy Ghost in vision, discovery, and its pursuit? What is the role of the Holy Spirit? Remember, we are riding on the wings of the Spirit. What is the role of the Holy Spirit in vision, discovery? How does the Holy Spirit help you to discover your vision, and to pursue it? Number one, somebody is blessed. Jeremiah 33 verse 3, he says, everybody go, call unto me and I will do what? And show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest of. Why is it that you don't know? Because these things are in the thoughts of God. And it takes the Holy Spirit to be able to reveal to you so that you can walk in it. There are great and mighty things you don't know. In fact, we are so limited to the extent that we don't even know what will happen to us the next hour. It's just by faith we live. Do you understand? And do you know that anything can happen to you in the next hour? We are so limited to the extent that we don't know what happens to us tomorrow. But the Holy Spirit does. There are great and mighty things that the Holy Spirit shows. Is somebody here with me? Now, before I raise my point, go to Isaiah chapter 2 verse 1. In the same direction, Isaiah chapter 2 verse 1. Now it says, the word that Isaiah, the son of Amos, saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem. God was about to speak to his people, and the words were released. And the Bible says, the word that Isaiah did what? He saw. Somebody's blessed. Now, how did Isaiah came to know and to see that which God was saying concerning Judah and Jerusalem? And this is the point. He shows us God's plan in pictorial form. He said, call on me and I'll answer, and I'll show you great and mighty things. God shows in pictorial forms. God sometimes gives you the picture, a mental picture of his thoughts, his plans concerning your life in a pictorial way. He said that the word that Isaiah saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem. And I believe it comes by prayer, because call on me is prayer. Call on me and I will do what? Answer. And I will show you. I pray that the Lord will show you. Number two, what is the role of the Holy Ghost in vision, discovery, and its pursuit? The book of Genesis chapter 12, verse number 1 to 3. The book of Genesis chapter 12, verse number 1 to 3. The Bible says that now the Lord said unto Abraham, get thee out of thy country, and from thy kindred, and from thy father's house, and unto the land that I will show you. Say, the land that I will show you. Verse 2 says that, and I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee, and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. The third verse said, and I will bless them that bless thee, ha, and curse him that curse thee. And in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. Somebody is blessed. I said somebody is blessed. Now, God speaks or shows us not only in pictorial form, but he speaks his plans in clarity. In clarity. It is clear. When God called Abraham, it wasn't just a shadow of the figment of his imagination. The plan was succinct, was very clear. The plan was so obvious. He says that, go to verse 1. Now the Lord said, get thee out of that country and out of that kingdom. Then the verse 2 says, there's one before verse 3 says, I will show thee. What are the things he was supposed to show? I will make you great and I will bless thee. There is greatness and there is what? Blessing when the Holy Spirit is leading you and showing you. Is somebody here with me? Clear instructions. I will make you great. I will bless you. In other words, he says that make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. It means that Abraham became a distributor instead of a receiver. Many of us, our problem is to, we pray that God make me a receiver. That is a wrong prayer. Tell someone that is a wrong prayer. In fact, all that we think of is to be what? A receiver. But do you know that God has not made you to be a receiver, but to be a distributor? Come on, there's a difference. Somebody hit it for me. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? There's a difference between receiving and distributing. The one who distributes is blessed so much enough that he always gives to others. But the one who receives always receives a lack. Because his idea is that he will always want to take. So no matter how much comes into his hands, it doesn't make him a distributor. He becomes what? A receiver. I pray today for you. Come on, this is not just a rhetoric. I said I pray for you today that you will be a blessing. That is the word. To be a blessing means to be a distributor of wealth. Abraham was blessed to the extent that he was always blessing others. Somebody is blessed. So, God speaks his plan. The Holy Spirit, his role concerning the vision of God's plan for our lives is to speak clearly. He speaks in clarity. Say, in clarity. Somebody's blessed. Hallelujah. How does this happen? As I bring the message to a close, how does this happen? Somebody will ask, Pastor, that this is what? It means you are not following. How? We saw what the role of the Holy Spirit in discovering our vision and pursuing it. How does he do it? So now we are doing, how does he do it? Romans chapter 8 verse 16. How does the Holy Spirit do it? Romans 8 16 says, everybody go if you are here. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are. Woo! Nobody said amen on that. So the first way by which the Holy Spirit helps as he shows us great things, as he speaks in clarity, he does that by the prompting. See the prompting. Divine promptings. An inward witness. Write it. By divine promptings. Which is an inward what? Witness. He said the Spirit bears us witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. You see, many a times the things the Holy Spirit wants you to do, he placed it in your spirit. It becomes something within. A desire. A great desire. And you see, many a times, if you are a child of God, the thing the Holy Spirit places in you, or the desires that the Holy Spirit places in you, are holy desires. Because there can be other desires. Are you understanding me? But as you are led by the Holy Spirit, he places in you holy desires. You come to a point in your life where there's a strong promptings in your spirit to do something. Do this way. Do this. Do this. It's like something is pushing you. Not until you do that, you don't find rest within yourself. We call it divine promptings, an inner witness. It is not somebody that is actually trying to say, hey, I say, be in the maker, sir. Hey, if you are a child of God, it is the Holy Spirit that is speaking to you. And as you act on it, as you take the step, it becomes the blueprint of God's plan for your life. How many times have you had witnesses in your spirit? The things I'm, you see, when somebody is speaking to you, somebody is sharing an idea, or somebody, me, I really pick a lot of, in fact, my senses are very sharp. I can speak to you. When I finish, I would have picked one or two or three ideas from you. And when I practice it, because the moment you are speaking, my spirit is alert. And the right things or the good things, maybe you may not know. Maybe you are telling me about, I'm speaking to him, another pastor, then we are in conversation, normal conversation, and then my spirit will be picking, searching. Charlie, then this thing will work. Oh, the Holy Spirit, just drop it in my spirit. When you practice it, then you're also moving on. Is somebody here with me? When the things I'm speaking to you, if your spirit doesn't accept it, it will not work for you. Are you understanding me? So, how does your spirit accept the things God is saying? There's an inner witness. When somebody comes and give a prophecy about your life, that I had a vision that you were going to die. Immediately, your spirit must reject it because there is no inner witness to that effect. Are you understanding me? That the inner witness comes with the peace and the acceptance of it. The moment you accept it, It is not the leadings of the Spirit. It is not the Spirit of God that has made you accept, but the devil wants to take over your life. It means that the evil word has overshadowed your human spirit, and therefore you will die if you don't do anything about it. Most prophecies are to kill people in our days rather than to make them elevated. Why is it that our prophets don't see people making it? And everybody is dying. Everybody. And this body is going, this person is going to die. I saw that this person was dying. Hey! Prophecies must be able to lift people, elevate us from one level to another level. Not to condemn or to kill. It does not mean that God doesn't foretell us about things that is to happen. But if it does not actually, your spirit doesn't accept it, then there's no way that thing will happen. How many of you understand what I'm sharing with you? Is somebody here with me? So be sensitive. Don't just allow and the person just made a funny statement and you didn't say anything. Reject it. Tell somebody, reject it. Because the moment you allow it, it overshadows you and its consequences are brought to bear. I pray that we will be delivered. Somebody is blessed. Now again, how does this happen? First, we've seen it by divine promptings. Number two. Acts chapter 10. Okay, let's do Acts chapter 11, verse 6 and 9. Acts chapter, because of time, Acts chapter 11, verse 6 and 9. 6 to 9. Now, upon the which, when I had fastened my eyes and considered and saw four-footed beasts of the earth, wild beast and creeping things and fowls of the air. Go ahead. And I heard a voice saying unto me, arise, Peter, slay and eat. Go on. And I said, not so, Lord, for nothing common or unclean had at any time entered into my mouth. Verse 9. But the voice answered me again from heaven, what God had cleansed, that call not thou uncommon. You know, this is a very typical description of how the Jews were not supposed to be equally yoked with the Gentiles to eat certain food and also to do certain practices of them. You know, Peter, who has been saved as a Jew, also had to carry the message to the Gentiles and had certain challenges, difficulties, because as a Jew, he had the practice of Judaism as one way or the other, just opposing with the Christian faith, or let me say, the Christ that he has believed. And therefore, there were certain kinds of animal and certain kind of practice that he felt that he could still not be able to do or can do. But then the Lord revealed himself to him and say that, hey, this thing, why do you call it unholy if the Lord himself has made it clean? Is somebody here with me? Now, we saw here God, through his spirit, in a vision, speaking to Peter. Hallelujah. So how does the Holy Spirit do this? Helps us. He does us by open vision. Say open vision. Night visions and then trances. I can't remember, I told you about a trance I had. I will never forget this experience. When I had left the bank, things were very tough. Tally, nothing was working. Married for 3 years, that by that time, no child. Wife was the one taking care of the home. I was just lying one day on my bed almost an afternoon, somewhere around 11, 12 thereabout. As if I was praying, as if I was sleeping, as if I didn't even, my spirit was so troubled in myself. Then all of a sudden, I was listening those days. I used to listen to Cleflo Dollar a lot. I listened to most of his messages. And he's a powerful teacher and he's also blessed man of God. All of a sudden, I saw in a trance that this man had come to the room. And the moment I saw him, I was going down because I wonder how he could come to my level. So as I went down, he was also going down. And as if we were all bowing to each other, then all of a sudden, shum. From that day till now, I have never known how to ask help or money from anybody in my life. Is somebody here with me? Ask me, watch me, teacher. I have never done that before. And God is keeping on blessing me. So it came sometimes in a trance. Trance is when you are not really asleep. You are not it, like you're it comes in your screen, like you are watching something. Did you understand? And sometimes in night vision, when you are sleeping, that's what you call dreams. And sometimes open vision. Somebody's blessed. So the Holy Spirit does that through night visions, open visions, and trances. Can I conclude? Can I conclude? Now, the last question is, how does the Spirit help us to pursue vision? See, there's one thing to discover, and Joshua, and another thing to do what? To pursue. Many come to the point of discovery. Oh, this is what God wants me to do. And that becomes the end of it. That becomes the end of it. So how then does the Holy Spirit also helps us to pursue? To pursue. So that we can have an expected end. Because though he has a thought for you, once you come to know the thought, that this is a thought of peace, not of evil, how do you get to the expected end of it? By pursuing. By heart. By heart. By heart. Aish. So how? Number one. John chapter 10 verse 4 to 5. John chapter 10 verse 4 to 5. John chapter 10, verse 4 to 5. John chapter 10, verse 4 to 5. The Holy Spirit. Wow. And when he put forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. Is somebody following, Pastor? Go on to verse 5. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of who? A stranger. Hallelujah. Now, go to verse number 6. No, let's end it there. Go to 4 and 5, and let me show you something. Go to 4, verse number 4. Let me show you something. Say that, and when he put it forth, his own sheep, he goeth before them. Let that word be underlined. He goeth before them. So how does the Holy Spirit helps us to pursue our vision? The answer is, he goes before you. Those who said amen, be blessed. No, that one is not for you. I said for those who said it earlier. The Holy Spirit helps you to pursue your vision by going before you. Before you get there, the ways are prepared. Because that is his thought concerning your life. You can't move in the will of God and fail. And fail. I have many testimonies as a person and as a pastor. When the Holy Spirit said that even if you are not ready to leave this work you are doing, I'm pushing you out. How am I going to make it? He said, I'll go before thee. He said, and when he put forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep will what? Follow him. The Holy Spirit always goes ahead. Sometimes you may not know what is ahead, but one good news is that he has already gone ahead. Your amen is sick for those of you. The greatest tragedy of our lives is not to know what tomorrow brings. It's to be not in the known. But the good news is that the Holy Spirit goes always ahead. I pray that as we ride on the wings of the Spirit, may the Holy Ghost go ahead of you. I said, may he move ahead. Before you get there, it will be as if you have already been there. Somebody is blessed. Number two, how does the Holy Spirit help us to pursue our vision? Number two, Matthew chapter 28, verse number 20. Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, tell somebody, and lo. Everybody go. I am with you always, even when the end. Wow. The second way by which the Holy Spirit helps us to pursue our vision is to go with us or be with us. In pursuing that which he wants you to do, he doesn't leave you alone. If he's calling you to be a hairdresser, he will be with you. If he's calling you to be a doctor, he will be with you. Do you know there are doctors and there are doctors? There are nurses and there are nurses. In fact, as a matter of fact, Ubu Hatumu said, on fatas were nursing. But in the Ghana sitna, why then obedi? Aish. So by force nurse, by force doctors, because I mean, there's money to pay. But I pray for you that may you discover your vision, the plan that God has for you. As you do that, may God, the Holy Spirit, be with you. You become exceptional in your profession. You become exceptional. If I don't know what else I would have been better in if I'm not a pastor. I'm telling you, I've never regretted. I will still be a pastor when I go and come back. I'm telling you. I don't envy anybody anywhere. I'm telling you. I don't have the largest church. I don't have the best of things. But I'm fulfilled within me. I'm passionate about what I do. I'm passionate. I love it. Let everybody go. I will still preach to the chairs. Because I love it. And I've seen that in my son, Doctor Two. Doctor assistants here and doing that. When we go home, he will gather the chairs and then the people in the things in the hall and start practicing everything he saw here. He even do truth encounter and do breakthrough night. The other day he told me that, Pastor, are you going to church? And I said, yes. He said, today is word encounter. I said, hey, will the singers come? And I said, not all of them will come, but my brain and Opoku will come. He said, hey. And then I will do mine in the house. I said, then who will be my brain? Who will be Opoku? He said, my brain will be the chair. And then he said, I will be Opoku. and it's so funny, at this tender age, he could organize himself and practice church. And I'm not surprised. My mother said I used to do that at age five. And for me, it wasn't things. So, if you're in a big compound house, I'll be calling them and I'll be laying my hands on them. And now you say you are seated at a bank all because you want cash. You'll be frustrated ever. You are frustrated in the work you are doing because that is not what God wants you to do. I'm telling you, stop seeking after money and do the right thing that God wants you to be. Am I speaking to somebody here? I thought you were clapping for Jesus. Hallelujah. So he goes with us. Number three, how does the Holy Spirit help us to pursue vision? Philippians 2:20. For I have no man like-minded who will naturally care for your state. Praise God. Hallelujah. Go with me to John chapter 14, verse 10 as well. John 14:10. He said that, believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth. You see, look at the correlation of the statement. He's talking about speaking now. He said that the words that I speak to you, I speak not of myself. I expect that the Father will speak through me. But he said that the Father that dwelleth in me does not only speak, but he doeth the work through me. So how does the Holy Spirit help us to pursue our vision? By doing the work through you. Let me tell you, my ability to stand here to preach is not Pastor Obed's ability. The grace that I have got to speak to you is not something that I was born with. I don't have it. Naturally, I don't know. But because by the grace of God, I'm pursuing my vision, whenever I pick, you see, many times I come to stand before you without even opening a scripture. Before coming, without even knowing what I'm going to say, to be frank with you, God is my witness, especially in CTG services. I just wake up, if I'm not sure, maybe at 5:30. Hey! Before I get here, I sit by my dead, the Holy Spirit will release a word and speak as if I have prepared a message. That is how it works. Whatever profession or whatever vision God has given to you, you don't struggle in it. I'm telling you, I don't want struggle in it. It flows. You flow. You just flow. You just flow. You just flow. You just flow. Beloved, stop struggling and allow the Holy Spirit to work through you. Whatever you are doing in the church, allow the Holy Spirit to work through you, and he will do it better. I said he will do it better. Somebody's blessed. Finally, how does the Holy Spirit help us to perceive vision? 1 Thessalonians 5:24. Come on, everybody, read with me. He said that faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. So he does not only do it through you, but he also do it for you. He does it for you. Just avail yourself. He will do it for you. I say this to the glory of God, that many testimonies we have on prayer line, I have no idea. I'm telling you. Physically speaking, naturally speaking, I have no idea. But God does his own work. Somebody is blessed. I pray that may this message have a place in your heart. Amen. Don't go and throw your nose somewhere. Go through it, meditate. Pray over it. Father, what is your blueprint for my life? What do you want me to do in this life? I'm not saying being a pastor is the only thing that God has assigned for you to do. But if the thing you are doing doesn't bring you peace, it doesn't bring you peace. In fact, you are crying within, then God wants you to change over. But there are some people, whatever profession God has given them, they do it with joy. As if the work is for them. They say the public sector is failing in our country. Why? Because they are square pegs in wrong holes. Many are pushing themselves to be places where they are not supposed to be, and they are collapsing the public sector. I pray for you. Your amen is weak. I said, I pray for you. Discover your vision and pursue it by the Holy Spirit. Be on your feet. Come on, be on your feet. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for the entrance of your word. I believe your word has found a place in the heart of your people. Water your word, brood over it, let it grow, let it increase, and bear harvest of righteousness. May everyone that belongs to our service, Father, be able to discover their vision and their purpose in life, thereby bringing them peace and an expected end. Somebody's blessed. Come on, put your hands together.
We trust that you've been blessed with the word of God. We would like to have you worship with us at Miracle Manor Church, Top High, off Tech Junction Road, behind Love FM. Call us on 0244-991294 or 0209-959090. Miracle Manor Church, manna fed, manna satisfied.